The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Whenever you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. This gentleman to my left is Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Producer number 9. So much more than a producer. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I don't know. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear your mic on.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Oh,
now,
hey! There he is.
is that a brand new shirt? Is that what that is?
No, I just don't wear it very often.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe you're fitting into it now for the
one? No, not one of those. I've got a couple of those, though.
All right,
that have circled back, that have remade the rotation.
What? You've been downplaying this. How many pounds have you lost?
Over 50.
Wow.
Over 50.
Good for you, man. Are you going for another 50, or is that enough?
Another 50 would be nice. I'm going for 25 at least more.
I like it. Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Downplaying tremendous weight loss. On the show today, Paul Carr on the Premier League coming up here momentarily. We'll talk about the NFL Are We Sure segment. Estamos Seguros. We have that coming up as well. A little talk on the NFL number one draft pick for 2025, because we touched on it earlier in the week. Might as well take a longer look at those odds, see if there might be some value. And then hour number two on a Football Friday. Usually it's Felica, Fezzik, and Dr. Bob. Today it's going to be Fezzik and Dr. Bob, because Chris has been on this show, the Bear, 47 times in the last 2 weeks.
We figured we'd give him a day off.
Yeah. So, you know, take the day off for Chris Felica. But we will have Fezzik here in studio. Fezzik, who's already tweeting the show, he's hyping the show, A, because he's on it, B, because he's also on it. He said, do not miss today's show. This is him on Twitter. I will reveal how one random discovery led to me making millions betting football. How about that?
Oh, what a tease. What a tease from Fezzik.
I want to find out myself. My God, what's he going to say?
You have to stick around an hour and 15 minutes for that one, folks.
It's a little promotion of something a little more than an hour down the line, but we'll get to that. We want to start, of course, with the college football quarterfinal, the final of the four quarterfinals yesterday. I didn't have this one, Kelly. I was wrong. I had Georgia.
Oh, I've been wrong on every single one of them, Gil.
You know what? Can I be honest? Every bowl season seems to take the same trajectory for me, which is it's a really torrid start, right? You go through the first week or so and you're like, I'm so good at this. And then it takes a turn.
Yeah.
It always happens that way for me.
I mean,
seemingly.
Next week, I'll have to pull up what my actual college football betting record is on the season.
Because
it's just a laughable small amount of games. I barely even bet it anymore. But as I texted you yesterday, the day before, it doesn't even matter at this point, where I was like, if you just lifetime faded me on college football,
you'd be doing well.
Oh, man, you would be doing well.
Well, Dr. Bob will come later to talk about the two college football semifinals lines. Later on the show, we'll get his expert opinion. But as far as yesterday's game, Georgia and Notre Dame, well, that escalated quickly.
Yep.
To quote Anchorman. My goodness, this was a 3-3 game. A 3-3 game. Well, how did it get to 3-3? Georgia looked like they were going to take a lead. They matriculated the ball down the field, up 3-0. At 3-0, they matriculated the ball down the field. When it was 3-3, or even before that, they had a drive. Remember where they got to 3rd-and-1 at the Notre Dame 16. Trevor Etienne hit by Shuler, fumbled, recovered by Jaden Osbury. That was the first sort of moment where you're like, okay, this might not be good. The second moment prior to it being 3-0 was Stockton to Arian Smith for 67 yards, but sideline interference.
Mm-hmm.
Called on old number 39 Parker Jones. Did his little Bartman moment.
Yeah.
Let's hope it doesn't escalate. You know what I mean? They had to settle for the 3-0 lead at that point. So that's actually a huge key to the game right there. Whatever Georgia was doing right didn't work out. And if you were a Georgia backer or a Georgia fan, you were definitely thinking to yourself, okay, that's not good. Because how many points left on the board there? You could argue perhaps 11 points left on the board. And so Notre Dame gets it. It's 3-3. Notre Dame then ends up scoring 17 points in a 58-second span of football.
Yeah.
Is that good?
It's pretty good.
The field goal to make it 6-3, a 48-yarder by Jeter, who, by the way, was great, 3-for-3. That made it 6-3. Then first play ensuing drive, Stockton hit by R.J. Oben, fumbles recovered by Junior, Tuilamaka. That leads to the next play. Leonard to Bo Collins from 13 out, 13-3. And then in the double dip, the ultimate double dip, they return the second half opening kickoff, 98 yards. Jaden Harrison does to the house, 20-3. And I don't want to say Katie barred the door at that point, but it was Katie barred the door at 23-10 when Georgia failed on a 4th-and-5 at the Notre Dame 9, Stockton incomplete, intended for Lawson Lucky. And then the final dagger, or the final nail in the coffin. By the way, have you heard that people are starting to call death nails now all of a sudden? People are getting that wrong. That's a new thing.
Gil.
Yeah.
It's been about a whole 7 months probably since I've known the difference now.
The death knell was finally at that score. Notre Dame 3 and out. And then they do the old, let's run the punt team off real quick and put in 11 guys on offense. And unlike the Brett Bielema strategy, it's the let's run our defenders on as quickly as humanly possible. And let's be all frazzled about it. And they jump off sides and that's it. And it leads to, instead of a 3 and out at 23-10, a 12 play, 41 yard drive for the Irish that took 7:36 off the clock all the way down past the 2 minute warning. They actually punt with 2 minutes left in the game. And that's it. That's all she wrote. Georgia, bad things from beginning to end.
Yeah, I thought Riley Leonard was, especially on that last drive, was like really impressive though, picking up some of those first downs with his legs.
The jump in the air.
Yeah. It might not have been a huge statistical game, but a gritty performance by one of the better quarterbacks.
Gritty, I like that. Gritty, just true. So we have the two semifinal lines, which again, we're going to have to wait, you know, a week for here. We have one on Thursday night, one on Friday night. So it's going to be consecutive nights next week. Texas, as we talked about yesterday, is going to be a 6-point dog, or at least they are a 6-point dog right now against Ohio State in one of the semis. Notre Dame installed. Once again, you got to install it before you bet it. Installed as a 1.5-point favorite against the Nittany Lions of Penn State. You got any bets, Mr. College Football?
I got nothing. I think I'd be looking under on that one. But man, that feels like a popular opinion already. And then Ohio State's laying 6 to Texas.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the recency bias of the last two games will definitely get you there.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, right? It's recency bias. We'll see. And again, Dr. Bob on the show later to talk about both of these. One last thing now here as we go to the semifinals, the bracket and the first ever 12-team playoff. Mm. Here's how I know that the bracket has been fakakta with all the seedings. When you talk about like March Madness and the 64 team, obviously there's two play-in games, but when you get to 64, once you see the bracket, if you're into college basketball and betting, you pretty much have the seeds in your head from that point forward. Oh yeah, that's a 5-12 game. That's a
That's okay.
A 4-13 game. You know, that's a 3-14. That's an 8-9. Like you get it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The NFL, even when they go when they change formats from you know, 6 teams to 7 teams, and now one team gets a bye, you still have it in your head. You're like, oh, yeah, okay, the winner of this game will play the winner of this game, so on and so forth. Name your sport, the NBA, 1-8, 2-7, like, you get it. You have it. Once it's etched in your mind, you know it throughout the duration of that postseason because you're a fan and you're betting. This one, Kelly, it's only 12 teams, I swear to you. I have to keep consulting this bracket a million times, and that alone tells me they got all of this wrong.
I love that you bring this up. I mean, I guess I don't know if it means they got it wrong, but I was laughing with it when Brendan and Savannah put up the bracket earlier, and I was like reading the seed numbers, and I'm like, you could have quizzed me on which right. one. I don't know if I would have gotten a single one right.
And I get the rules, right? You have 4 conference winners, and then the 5th best right. one gets in there. I get all that. But I'm just saying, if us as sports fans and sports bettors have an issue just assigning it to memory in your brain after decades of getting every, you know, being like 1,000-0 in having this okay with us, it says something's wrong about the bracket. Does that make sense? Just
yeah.
from a mechanical standpoint?
Yeah.
Like I keep having to going back and be like, okay, who played who again? Oh yeah, Texas or else. Sure. Anyway.
But this is also kind of like, I guess it's kind of similar to me as like, if you could just ask me a bunch of NBA teams' records, like, I probably wouldn't know them off, or I'd right. be close. I wouldn't yeah. know them off the top of my head, but I could tell you what they've done in the past week and a half, because that's what I've really been handicapping.
Well,
you
that's
know what
a
I mean?
Like, that's a different thing. I'm just talking about like, as lifelong sports fans and lifelong sports bettors, right? That stuff is second nature to us.
Yeah.
This, over and over again, I'm like, okay, they play who again now? Because the seedings are all jacked up as they have.
I am very intrigued to see how this plays out over the next few years, because I'm fairly confident in them making some changes and being willing to, I think, is the most important part, which they sound like they're willing to make changes to this if they need to.
Sounds that
so way. That's good. But I think I was in the camp of, I don't know if this is really going to work that well since the beginning. So we'll see. We'll see. Give it another year or two.
All right. Want to start some Are We Sure?
Sure.
Are we sure? NFL Week 18. Estamos seguros.
All right. I'm going to jump down a little bit because I might have made a bet yesterday. Are we sure Kelly won't lose money betting Joe Burrow on comeback player of the year?
By the way, I should say, estamos seguros with a question mark on each side. I did that right, yeah, inflection. Right.
There you go.
Are we sure, phrase that again, are we sure that Kelly won't lose money betting on Joe Burrow for comeback player
of
the year?
Are we sure Joe Burrow is going to win comeback player of the year?
No, I like it the way for the first
time.
Yeah. No, I am not sure you're not going to lose money.
Me either.
Because I think what we learned, that the AP is accepting ballots on Sam Darnold, despite their guidelines. We have no idea if voters are going to comply. I think Sam Darnold's going
to
win this.
You know the one, so I go to bet this yesterday, and the bettor's mindset, right? It's the, okay, I'm betting into an award that we've been going crazy about for a couple years. This is not going to be a huge bet for me, but I'm going to bet it because I think this number's silly on Joe Burrow.
And you found this in town yesterday.
Yeah, MGM posted. MGM posted. They had -175, so I did end up betting that. And then you think about it, Gil. So I'm like, okay, I have a rough idea how much I'm going to bet on this. And then you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But how do I know this number's not going to move more in my direction? So like, then I hold back a little bit more even because I don't know after this week.
Whetting your appetite with Are We Sure, as Flatter would say. We got more of that on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. There's only one number one draft pick. There's only one champion at the end of the season. And there's only one nicotine pouch brand in America that outsells the rest, and that is Zyn. Zyn is a smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free nicotine pouch that can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. Find your Zyn at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Maybe Jason Weingarten should be all about the Zyn. Maybe he should be. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Christian Marge, been on the same line of thinking as you, Gil, in regard to the Rams. Bet them the day after they knocked off the Bills at 55-1 to win it all, with the thought this team can outscore anyone in a given game and can get hot. Value there, if nothing else. Christian, I'm with you, and I think I will be adding. I only have a couple Super Bowl matchups that both involve the Lions. I think I will be adding a Rams-Chiefs and a Rams-Ravens here at some point. New York Mets 16. How good of a game does Trubisky need to have to take some MVP shade from Josh Allen working on the recency premise? Oh, that's interesting. So if the thinking being there that if Mitch Trubisky threw for 400 yards or something, that somehow Josh Allen would be diminished in some way, I guess is what you're saying. I'm saying, oh, look, Mitch Trubisky can run this offense even better than Josh Allen can. It would. I don't think the two are related. I think those that are going to vote for Josh Allen will not be swayed, and those who are not will make that comment, but it will be kind of an empty comment. D-Gen Southern Gent. I'm surprised Grizzly didn't come to mind alongside Copenhagen and Skull, not insinuating a gentleman such as himself was a dipper. Oh, for Kelly, he said he didn't. He is surprised he didn't come up with that. Not insinuating a gentleman like Kelly is a dipper, but I'm sure he was surrounded by a number of devoted Grizzly fans in the swampier places he's lived. Wow. That's interesting. It is built on a swamp. You do have it literally correct. It's Gil Alexander. At this time of week, we love to do Football Friday. We would have had Felica on already by this time, but we gave Chris the day off because he's been on the show again 47 times in the last 2 weeks. But that doesn't mean Steve Bezik's not back in studio, and he is the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest. He joins us now. How you doing, man?
Quite a contrast. 1 year ago, we were sweating out Survivor the last week with Greg Jones, and my goodness, you know, it sounds so exciting, and it is, but how stressful was that last week?
Last year, you mean?
Yeah. Of last year.
Well, you and I, because we were talking about it all the time. Meet me at the Caesars gym. I have to talk to you about Survivor.
Yeah.
And so Steve's one of these guys where if you're on treadmills at the same time, he wants to talk to you the whole time. You're like, I can't talk right now, Steve. I can't talk about this. But it was, are you happy? Do you feel unburdened by not being involved in it this year?
Well, it's a mixed blessing, right? Yeah. It's like I'd much rather have the burden of a big payout possibly, but it's certainly a little less stressful. I'm hanging around in one, there's one contest left that I might be able to win.
Oh, the season wins one.
The season wins. So the resume I'm going to submit to the Westgate right now has 23 wins with the possibility of 24 if Houston goes over 9.5. So will 24-8 win the Westgate season win contest? I'm going to predict it will. Because think about that. That's like going 3-1 in every division. That's going to be tough to beat.
Did you say Wes Reynolds was in this?
Wes Reynolds won it 2 years ago.
He won it 2 years
ago. 2 years ago. And famously, that's the year there's only 30 teams because of the Hamlin year. So yeah. Buffalo and Cincy got disqualified. They didn't count.
That's right.
And so Wes, he punched in 21 out of 30 points.
Wow.
So that's why I'm thinking 23 gives me a good chance. I got a good tiebreak, too. I got Kansas City with 13 wins.
Which brings to mind one of the things that we've talked about here on A Numbers Game for years now, we give Drew Dinsick the credit for this. He deserves the credit, which is the pre-flop alternate season win totals markets before the season starts. And Drew's line, which resonated and we've repeated many times, was the notion, and I'll paraphrase, the notion that those are priced correctly is totally false, right? It's probably a complete fallacy that those are priced correctly. And you believe, we teased because we talked about your how you hyped up the show, how you're going to talk about how you exploit one thing and you made $1 million betting. But that's one of those things that would apply, right?
Yeah, and the whale capper nailed it here. So the way to win betting sports, the best way is identify something that nobody else has identified. Be the innovator. And I think Drew was. You know, he's the first guy publicly that talked about it. So I was playing around with the binomial. Warning, danger, there's a little math.
No, here comes the math, people.
Here it comes. So I just punched in 17 games, average team, 500 team. You flip a coin 17 times.
Yeah.
All right. How many heads or tails should you get? So it's like a season win number, right? How often you're going to win exactly 8 or 9 games? And it turns out it's 18.7%, okay? So if you, I'm taking a few shortcuts. So if you played under 7.5 on a team lined on 8.5, bottom line is your break even by this binomial distribution would be -217/+217. You need +217 to break even, but here's the mistake. And you can get +217 oftentimes. Mm-hmm. The mistake is this is a fair coin that's correctly valued, 50% heads, 50% tails, and the coin doesn't change. So there's two mistakes, inherent flaws to this. One is you could get a team that's a lot better or a lot worse than what the fair coin was thought to be. By example, this year, like the Vikings were a 7-win team. Well, they weren't going to land anywhere close to 7 because the Vikings were like a 10-win coin, at least, that was priced as a 7. That's factor one, mispricing to start the season. Factor two, changes during the season. New Orleans Saints. Yeah, they probably were lined right to win, you know, 7.5 games. But then, boom, Olave gets hurt. Carr gets smashed around.
Yep.
And so they're a shell of themselves by the end of the year. So because of that, and then let's go to Matt Buchholter. There's an inherent bias, and I knew about this also, towards people want to bet overs.
In every sport.
In every sport. But yeah. So in football, it turns out if you just bet unders on all these season wins, and Matt has talked about this, you're pretty much going to break even right off the bat. So you want to play these alternative totals and you want to go under. What's interesting is I think Matt recommended one over alternative and it lost. And I was thinking it's like, well, he went against his general guideline. And so he lost in general principles.
A lot of us don't follow our own advice.
I don't as
the,
well.
The way I used to do it in my baseball manifestos, the way I used to say it is, if your instinct is to bet a spate of overs, you're probably doing this wrong, right? That's the, because we are wired for optimism. We're wired for overs in individual games and totals, right? We're wired for teams to go over their season win totals. And that instinct is not a good one for bettors.
But it was good in football this year because in the NFL, the favorites in the overs, if you just bet them all year long, you got murdered in September. Now you're up big. They both are over 53% for the year. And if you spit that into a binomial calculator within like, you know, 99% confidence interval, something like that. It's like, this is not random. The numbers were too low and wrong.
And let's give a shout out because the reason that you have become sort of recently here fixated on this notion of you know, find one thing you're good at, find one thing that no one else is doing, find one thing you can exploit, and you can really, really be successful at this, is the segment that I did here with Gina Fiore, who came on here, and she was great. She was outstanding.
She was.
And you got super inspired by that.
Yeah, because but to summarize, if you missed the segment, so Gina was a hole carder, and like she said, and I agreed with her number, about 1 in 300 dealers will flash their hole card. Mm-hmm. Helps to be short, helps to be in a wheelchair. Oh, my leg!
But the amount of time she spent scouting just to find those people.
Exactly. And yeah, then you find someone, and it's like, you, what you want to do is you want to have a team, because it's too obvious if you're, oh, you're peaking, and then you're betting big.
That's right.
So you have your peakers sure, just betting $5.
That would not be a good way to do it. Be like, hey, are you showing a card there?
Yes.
Yeah, that would not be good.
And so you have your confederate that is betting, you know, flat. They can flat bet. They can just bet 500 a hand. And every time they get 16 against a 9, oh, I think I'll stay. And the dealer flips over a 6. And when you think about it, it's so obvious. Like any casino manager with the brain that is aware of this possibility play, and this is well documented in the movie Casino, right, where they break the guy's, you know, right, hand. It's like it takes, you know, the movie star like 10 seconds to figure out, well, something's amiss here. This guy keeps guessing right. And yet casino employees, they remember, they see thousands of losing gamblers over and over and over again. And the natural reaction is like, it's a casino. Someone has to win money, you know, every now and then.
And now I'm going to reference a tweet we just got moments ago, which is Steve going to tell the parlay card story again? Your vehicle to sort of exploiting, that was your thing back in the day.
Yeah. So epiphany. So 1992, forget South Point. Okay, that's like the tail end of all this. Okay, so I'm gonna go back. We're going back in time. In 1992, I came to Vegas. I'm playing some blackjack, you know, screwing around. I don't have much of a bankroll, and I'm working a full time job, and I'm studying to be a full time actuary, taking all these exams. Very strenuous. So I don't have time to get to Vegas. But I look at this card, and I'm like, what's this? All the point spreads are published, printed on Wednesday. They're stale. They don't
what's
move.
What's this? Yes.
What's this? And I'm like, oh, wow, the payouts are going to be lousy. I flip it over and it's like, oh, well, parlays are sucker bets, right? Well, the three teamer paid 7 for 1. That's the same as 6 to 1. Those are true odds. It's like -110. The six teamer then. So if the three teamer pays 7 for 1, the six teamer should pay 49 for 1. It paid 54.
The 6 to 1 was the one that was exploitable. We've talked about this on the show before. That was the one where smart guys like you figured out. And that's the amazing thing. If you're smart like Steve, you will sniff out the value somewhere.
And actually, the 10-teamer was the best of them all. But you got taxed on the 9 and 10-teamer. I didn't want them to know who I was. I wanted to be anonymous. So I played 6, 7, and 8-teamers. And we'll talk about that in the next segment.
We'll continue that story. And then Steve's Week 18 plays in the National Football League. That's on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you the kind of player who wants to drop $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Steve Fezzik, might that be you? Or maybe you're looking for instant acceptance on your in-game bets. You need SportTrade, the app that's revolutionizing sports betting. With -104 lines instead of the standard -110, instant in-game betting, and a dedicated concierge player service, SportTrade delivers a premium betting experience like no other. Now live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and Virginia. Download SportTrade today. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on every wager during your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. I would think you'd be all over SportTrade.
Yeah, I love SportTrade. I've talked to those guys. They're really smart, and I keep emphasizing. I love when they say -104 in each direction. That's just like, a general guide. You're probably going to do better than that. You know, you're going to lay less than -104 in NFL at post.
Well, and along those lines, I figured you'd be all over Profit X then.
Exactly. Yeah. And I actually, you put me in touch with Joe Pita. We've already had conversations.
That's right.
And I got to tell you, these betting exchanges, they're going to kill the -110 betting.
I think so.
Mark my words, because what's going to happen is at post, like all the time, every other expert loves every guy. I love the Rams. I love the 49ers. They have like 8 games they like. I don't like anybody on Sunday. It's like, I believe in the market being very efficient Sunday morning. I'm not laying -110 at a market number. I'm not good enough to win laying -110 but I'm good enough laying minus 102.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. As and by the way, you say this all the time about like contests where you're betting into like a closing line. Like you're not that great at that.
I'm not. Yeah. You know, well, part of it is just that it has become so difficult. And that's why famously, like on your show, I've been giving out all year long look ahead lines. It's going to be real hard to win this week, Gil.
Yes.
Because there are none.
There are none. There is no week 19. Pat Moran on Twitter. This is insane. Oh, talk about our comeback player of the year conversation. Based on this, Joe Burrow won't get shut out for an award. They'll give him rookie of the year. He's very angry about it. SN Wright. Get Fez. Oh, I noticed this too, Fez. He said, get Fez to say New Orleans correctly. I believe he corrects people on Nevada, just saying. It's New Orleans. It's not New Orleans.
Caramel?
Terry Ray. As Charlie Munger said, you're looking for a mispriced gamble. That's what investing is, and you have to know enough to know whether the gamble is mispriced. That's value investing.
Well, you know, if you watch The Big Short, this is going back to the parlay cards.
Great movie.
This is an example where they're shorting all the banks and all these AAA and AA bonds that have never failed, right? And everyone's making fun of them. So, like, going back to the story about the parlay cards, so it's like 1993. And this is the first score. And everyone who's a professional gambler, they lose. You know, you've got to put in your dues and you get better at it. We didn't lose. From the get-go, we just kicked butt. I still remember my buddy John, my Northwestern pal, he came out and he played like all these six teamers at the Riviera. And he didn't even bet that much. And he went like 13-1 on the 14 teams he used. Yeah. So literally more than half of his cards paid 54-1. And I did, you know, really well. And I think I won like 30,000. I still remember when they were cashing ticket after ticket. We're nervous about it. You know, we read, you know, the beat up card counters and stuff that do really well. And we're just cashing these tickets slowly matriculating, you know, the profits. And they're just laughing. They're like, anytime you guys want to come back. You know, it feels like we were just some random kid suckers that had just, you know,
got lucky.
And, you know, shout out Joe Lupo, 1996.
Joe Lupo
ran the Stardust. He's documented in the book by Chad Millman, The Odds, and with Alan Boston. And he was the first guy to recognize, whoa, wait a minute. Maybe this isn't just random luck as I'm playing again and again and winning. And he was the first guy to back me up. And then ultimately he barred me for a year. He says, Steve, no more bets for you. And he thought about it for the rest of the year, you know? And so I started
for the rest of the year.
So I started like plying my trade and going around and every now and then you'd find a place that just hadn't gotten the memo.
You got into scouting mode.
And yeah. famous like blew up Prim once, blew up the Wild Wild West in on Tropicana, Wendover, Nevada.
Yeah.
I still don't feel safe going back to Wendover, Nevada.
Really?
Literally Baldini's up in Reno. Single-handedly, Baldini's became a Leroy's book 2 weeks after I got them in back-to-back weeks.
You don't feel comfortable because you think they'll remember you kind of thing?
Wendover is a scary little border town in Utah. It holds its own secrets. So.
I will say this, though. So we did this. When I say we, I said you and me did this last year at the William Hill Caesars books. We actually won big 1 week. But by mid-season, it was kind of over because every time you would walk up there, and you and I just talked about this off air, every time you would walk up there, they'd be like, oh, those three games are not on the card.
So here's
anymore.
The lesson.
Yeah.
The reason I'm talking about it, it's largely dead.
It's dead.
It's basically dead. And William Hill was the last place that was still taking some action. Like, in the best way I can, famously with the South Point, we talked about the story. So I had a $200 10-team card at South Point. Okay. Bert Osborne, who was running the book, shook my hand. He's like, that's fantastic, Steve. Went ahead and paid me the $130,000 in chips and some cash, helped me out with security, walking me out. And then he did say, not in a negative way. And then he said, Steve, I'm going to need you never to win more than $50,000 in any one weekend ever again. You understand? Kind of like old school Vegas. And then, but by contrast, 10 years later, you know, Chrissy's run the book and I play with my player's card. I play 10 $90 parlay cards. Well, he's always sneaking in these cards.
Well, let's be fair, because you were being a pig about it, right? And that's what he would say about it.
I use my players. How can I be a pig if I'm like using my player's card, disclosing who I am? Here's 10 cards during March Madness. To be fair, Chrissy, he'd recognized I had the advantage, and he just snapped, and he said, no more of that.
Well,
is okay. That's his prerogative.
I don't want to get into it, but yeah, okay. There's a difference of opinion there. Let's put it that way on how that went down. Yes.
Fair.
Okay.
Yes.
Fair.
Absolutely. There's always two sides.
There's always two sides.
And it's a good point that, you know what, everything's kumbaya and all these like content providers are like huggy huggy with all the sportsbook directors. And I got to say, I'm in good with Circa and I love everyone at Circa, but that is not the norm in town. The norm, I would say, like, I have a really good relationship with the Wynn, but there's a lot of books that, like, barely tolerate me. You're like, I guess we got to let Fez play, you know, but part of that is my past. You know, when you're coming in and you're cashing, like, at the Aladdin, one time I cashed $9,000 parlay cards. They literally had security, like running after me.
Okay, but you would agree. Hold on, I got to get you to make a concession here. You would agree that you are physically incapable, Steve Fezzik, we get along fine, but you would agree that you are physically incapable of sort of restraining yourself if you sniff any edge anywhere. And if they say to you, hey, Steve Fezzik, that's great that you did that, but maybe ratchet it back a little bit, that you are incapable. The fiber, your DNA, you cannot stop yourself.
Well, you're correct. But I'm not going to say it's necessarily a flaw. Let me say this.
I'm not saying it's a flaw. I'm just saying that's where you
if
run into
you're
trouble.
You're a sucker. And I'll go back to Cal Neva up in Reno. OK, in the 1990s, I don't know what's going on. 2 a.m, people were coming up with green garbage cans full of parlay cards, like they like in shoe boxes. And they'd be at the window for an hour and a half. What the heck this was, I don't know. But people would be like putting in bets for an hour and a half, tens of thousands of dollars of cards. None of those guys ever got backed off. None of those guys. There's no questions asked. That money just went through the window.
Well, I mean, it must be your warm and fuzzy personality that people see on Twitter all the time. That must be it.
That was before Twitter.
That was before Twitter. I'm just saying, I'd love to give you the benefit of the doubt, but, you know, the evidence suggests.
Fair enough. But this happens with Gina, too. I'm sure she got, you know, harassed big time when like it's like Renegade, you know, it's like I'm in trouble. The coop is up. Right. You know, right. It's like.
But who wouldn't? Yeah. But you, sir, are not Gina. In other words, like in terms of the personality you exude. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, fair enough. OK, fair enough. But the lesson is find something like the Whale Capper has found with these alternative totals.
Absolutely.
And a book I've referenced this before, Logan Field's 2020 Sports Betting Think Like a Pro documents how he beat golf, and he explains specific examples, including betting the field. Now, this wouldn't work in tennis betting because the field never wins, because the better tennis player always wins. But it's not true in golf. Total scrubs can win golf tournaments.
Yep.
And you get 40 total scrubs in the field, and they can beat, you know, Morikawa and all these guys.
Yeah, in tennis, they can't win the slams necessarily, but they can win some of the 500s,
sure,
250s. Sure. Real quick before you go, what do you got week 18?
So we're going to go first halves, two of them. We're going to play the Bays in the first half. We're going to play Green Bay -6.5, -120, and Tampa Bay -7.5, -115. The reason I like both games, Green Bay possibly playing for seeding. They hate the Bears. Worried a little bit on the tail end. Green Bay tends to take the ball. Ultra motivated first half. Same with Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay, obviously, ultra motivated to win the division. They might take their feet off the gas, make sure Mike Evans gets his 85 pass yards. But Tampa should start with the ball first. Not a lot, but they should start with the ball, which is an edge. And I also like both teams, and both teams have done very well in the first half. So Green Bay first half, Tampa Bay first half.
Easy enough to remember. And the Mike Evans thing is he needs 85 yards to continue his streak of 1,000-yard receiving season. And Baker Mayfield and the Bucs are well aware.
Bold prediction, Mike Evans will get exactly 91 yards this week, because as soon as he gets over 85, they got a playoff game to play the next week.
Oh, man, if he gets 91. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Gilly.
Steve Fezzik, everybody, right here, kind enough to join us each and every Friday during the football season here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dr. Bob, also kind enough to join us. He's next on College Football.